O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the actions of our lives this coming week be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. There was an Associated Press story about a novel experiment by University of Minnesota to foil Christmas tree thieves. These thieves had been going to some of the trees on campus and cutting off the top 6 feet of 18 and 20 foot trees, permanently disfiguring those trees. And so the university decided to take action. They began spraying anything that could pass for a Christmas tree with skunk scent. Yeah, skunk scent. It seems that cold weather masks the smell, but warm indoor air releases it. The groundskeeper said, "We'll probably lose a few trees, but I have some satisfaction in knowing that's not going to work out the way they planned." However, he did admit wondering what it was going to smell like on the campus in the spring. I've not heard the final report on that. The question for this morning is this: how do you change human behavior? You can try to make the consequences so unpleasant that people never want to have such an experience again. Perhaps a little skunk scent in the house. Can you imagine anything worse than being in prison? And yet so many people released from prison commit crimes again and end up there again. Obviously, something more than punishment is needed. Today we're going to speak of the most amazing part of the Christmas story, the incarnation. God became human flesh. Hear the word of God from Luke, beginning the first chapter of the 26th verse. 1 month later, God sent the angel Gabriel to the town of Nazareth in Galilee with a message for a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to Joseph from the family of King David. The angel greeted Mary and said, "You are truly blessed. The Lord is with you." Mary was confused by the angel's words and wondered what they meant. Then the angel told Mary, "Don't be afraid. God is pleased with you, and you will have a son. His name will be Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the God Most High. The Lord God will make him king as his ancestor David was. He will rule the people of Israel forever and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm not married." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come down to you and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth is also going to have a son, even though she's old. No one thought she could ever have a baby. But in 3 months, she will have a son. Nothing is impossible to God." And Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said." And the angel left her. Amazing story. The God of all creation became human flesh in the babe of Bethlehem. But why? Why did God come down to where we are, and why take the form of a helpless baby? I think this was God's way of changing the heart of humanity. God does not want to overwhelm us, lest he rob us of the freedom to choose. God's object is to win the hearts and the souls of human beings in order to fashion a new creation. How would God accomplish this? God would become one of us. That's not as mysterious as it sounds. Leaders in today's companies are continually looking for ways to motivate their employees. They want people to enjoy their work enough that they will stay motivated, self-motivated. The problem is, how can they get rid of the image that they are pressuring people to perform? One way is to meet them where they're at. Get rid of your own vestments of power so that your presence is no longer intimidating. A bank manager removed the name from the most coveted parking spot and replaced it with a sign, Employee of the Month. And he just parked with the rest of the employees. A guidance counselor at a middle school in Jacksonville decided to walk the halls and the playgrounds 2 hours every day, engaging in informal conversations with the students. The head of a computer company in California stopped eating lunch in the private executive cafeteria. Instead, he ate in the company cafeteria, making certain he sat at a different table each day. In Cleveland, Ohio, the president of a wholesale paper company turned his office into an employee lounge and created an open office space for himself in the middle of the warehouse. Max Pohl, the CEO of Barnes Hospital in St. Louis, has someone wheel him around on a gurney, dressed like a patient, in order to develop a feel for what it's like to be a patient at Barnes Hospital. What he hears sensitizes him to the level of service the hospital provides. These executives are just copying what God did when God came down into our world in the babe of Bethlehem. God came down to where we are. He wasn't lording it over us. Evidently, there was no other way to lift us up than for God to come down. God emptied himself. That's the significance of the babe in the manger. God, who was all powerful, made his appearance not in heaven, but an absolute weakness. What is more helpless than a baby? In the manger of Bethlehem, God looked just like everyone else. Oh, a few star-struck shepherds happened on the secret, and some astrologers from the east, but most people were totally oblivious to what was happening. We need to be careful when we judge by appearance alone, because we may get a surprise. A few years ago, the most remarkable man in the world died. He was a native of Cape Town, South Africa. His name was Hamilton Naki. Naki was 78 when he died. He should have enjoyed worldwide fame. Unfortunately, because he was a black man living under apartheid, very few people knew the story of this extraordinary man. Hamilton Naki was a former gardener who left high school because his family couldn't afford the fees. He took his first job at the age of 14, cutting grass at the University of Cape Town. In 1954, he was promoted to helping for laboratory animals. And soon he progressed from cleaning cages to more advanced lab work. After a professor at the university noticed that Hamilton Naki was a gifted individual, he asked him to help anesthetize animals used to train students in surgery. "He has skills I don't have," Dr. Christian Barnard said in 1993. Hamilton had the opportunity to perform, he could have become a brilliant surgeon. Barnard asked Naki to be on the backup team in what became the world's first successful heart transplant surgery. in December of 1967. This violated the country's laws on racial segregation, which dictated that blacks should not be given medical training nor have contact with white patients in any way. So very few people knew of Nackey's natural brilliance. He taught medical students to perform intricate liver transplants on pigs, a procedure which I'm told is more difficult than heart transplants on humans. Doctors who observed Mr. Nackey's work to describe how he managed to join minute blood vessels with amazing delicacy and accuracy. And he used to finish operations that the students started and weren't getting right. By the time he retired from the university in 1991, Hamilton Nackey had only made it to the level of laboratory assistant. And even though he performed work that we pay other brilliant souls hundreds of thousands of dollars every year, he had to be content with the meager pension of a gardener. He had no more skilled work. All his skilled work had never been let out. He once told an interviewer, "Those days you had to accept what they said as there was no other way to go. It was the law of the land." It was only after the end of apartheid, 1994, that Mr. Nackey's contributions became known. In 2002, South Africa president gave him South Africa's highest award for his years of public service. Who would have thought the school gardener assisted Dr. Christian Bernard in his world-shaking heart surgeries? The gardener. Who would have thought that a baby born in a stable with donkeys and cows and sheep would be the hope of the world? God emptied himself and became a human being. Eugene Peterson, an author of The Message, paraphrased that wonderful passage in Philippians 2, 6 to 8 that speaks of Christ coming into the world like this. When the time came, he set aside the privilege of deity and in the status of a slave became human. Having been human, it was an incredible, humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that. A crucifixion. God became human flesh. God emptied himself and became a helpless babe. God came down to lift us up. That is what Christmas is all about. And there was only one purpose. God desires to make a change in our hearts. This is the heart of Christmas. It was all for the purpose of making us into a new creation. So how would you go about changing human nature? Well, without robbing humanity of its freedom to choose life or death. God did it the only way possible. He came down where we are. He emptied himself completely in our behalf so that we would respond in love. Wouldn't this be a good time to open yourself to let the love of Christmas fill your heart? Gracious God, we admit that we are all wound up with all the trappings of this season. The decorating, the shopping, the pageants, the school events, the wrapping, the running here and there, seeing family, seeing others. It is so easy forget what it's all about. It's about your love for us. And a chance for us to take the time to return that love to you. Help us find a quiet place. Where we can do what's really important for our souls in this season.